Well, we're going to come to our Bible reading now. So if you would like to turn up 1 Peter chapter 5, you'll find it on page 1221. We're getting quite close to the end of this letter now. It feels like a while since we've started it. We've been looking at all sorts of different themes, the blessings that God has poured out on his people. And I think the big theme is we've been looking through 1 Peter that Peter has continually come back to is if God has done this for you, if this is who you are because of what God has done in your life, then how are you living in light of that truth? There's been the charge to be submissive. There's been the charge to be holy because God is holy. Most recently, the beginning of chapter 5, this was 2 weeks ago, Peter wrote to elders and young men and talked about the leaders in the church and the importance of being a shepherd under the great chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus. But now we're going to read 1 Peter chapter 5, just verses 8 to 11. Peter says this: "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen."
Now I'd like you to imagine that there is a lion on the loose. There you are in Chiswick High Road, Ealing Broadway, Brentford High Street, whichever is your local street. Imagine yourself there now. You have your Starbucks in hand. You are calmly strolling down the street, minding your own business. And suddenly, you're confronted with a wild, ferocious animal. We all know how big a lion is actually in real life. It's huge. You are going to be absolutely terrified. Well, what do you do? Do you freeze? Do you play dead? Do you run for it? Do you fight? Well, in tonight's passage, Peter is saying that there is a lion on the loose. And he tells us how to deal with it. This lion that he's talking about is out to destroy our faith and to turn us away from Jesus. Peter is out to tell us how we can defend ourselves. Now, imagine the same scene. There's a lion charging down Chiswick High Road, Brentford High Street, Ealing Broadway, whichever is your street of choice, and you're there strolling down, Starbucks in hand, minding your own business, and you're confronted with this ferocious wild animal. But this time, you're good. You're prepared. You knew all along that there was going to be a lion out there. You have your tranquilizer gun. You have your lion cage all prepared. You've got your helicopter. So once you get the lion in the cage, shut the door, and you can helicopter it off to the zoo. And you have your anti-lion suit. I don't know what an anti-lion suit is, but you get the point. You are protected. Tonight's passage is all about being prepared for the real lion that's on the loose. We're looking at these three verses, 1 Peter chapter 5, 8 to 11, and I'm calling it the face-off. Check out verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So verse 8, you've got the roaring, devilish lion. But then in verse 10, who do you have there? Check it out. You have the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. After you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong. On the one hand, you've got the devil, the roaring lion. But on the other, you've got the God of all grace. On the one hand, the devil who prowls around like a lion, wounded, defeated, desperate to destroy what he can of God's kingdom. And on the other, you've got the God of all grace, utterly gracious, sovereign, and the one who suffered on our behalf. Whose side would you rather be on? Whose side are you on? Well, there's no contest, is there, really? But who is still dangerous? Who is still prowling around? Wounded, yes, but still ready to destroy. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, says Peter, looking for someone to, what's the word? Devour, swallow up, gobble up, pull down. We are in deadly danger of a ferocious wild animal. It's an inhuman, unyielding, unforgiving beast out to destroy, out to swallow, out to devour who? Anyone who serves the Lord Jesus. This lion is out on the prowl, out to destroy your faith, to trap you in sin. We're here tonight, but Lord, keep us, right? Where will we be in 5, 10 years? Lord, help us to serve you, the God of all grace. Defend us from that devilish lion. I've got a question for you. Does an antelope believe in the existence of lions? Odd question. But think about it. Most antelopes have never seen a lion. Why? Because lions hunt in stealth. Their whole point is not to be seen. They only attack when the antelope isn't looking, isn't suspecting that anything bad is going to happen. So the antelope, what does it do? Just keeps munching, following the routine, and then crunch. The antelope is caught and killed so fast before he even realizes what's happening, before he even realizes that there's a lion on the loose. Peter is here saying, don't let that be you. Be self-controlled and alert and be ready. The devil doesn't come at us with a big sign that says, hi there, I'm the devil. Yes, I'm real and I'm going to tempt you right now. No, he uses subtle seduction and deception. And we all know what it's like, don't we? He whispers, you don't want to follow Jesus. Or, God is dead. God was invented. Or, you don't really need to give up that sin. It doesn't matter that much. We all know what I mean, right? The whispering in our ears, the subtle seduction. Peter is warning us to be prepared for the real lion that's on the loose, out to destroy our faith. But check out verse 8. Who is Peter giving this warning to? Do you see what it says? Sorry, verse 9. He says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So, as Michael just said, Peter is writing to people who are undergoing suffering. And then again in verse 10, he says, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while. He's talking to people who are being persecuted, who are seriously stressed, whose pastor might have just been arrested, for whom having Peter's letter may be a criminal offense. And let's face it, people for whom lion probably means something to do with the amphitheater and people getting thrown in to feed it. These people are suffering. So Peter is talking to people who are at that point of weakness, who are scared, and they're under attack from the devil. What's the devil going to be saying to them? You don't really need to suffer. You could give up Jesus. Why not? Why go through all this? Peter is saying to them and us, the devil will attack you at that moment of weakness, when your shield is down, when you're not ready. So, How does Peter say we should be ready? How should he say we should respond? And he does it in three instructions. How to deal with the prowling lion that is the devil. The first one is in verse 8. He says, be self-controlled and alert. He means focus. Don't let the devil get into your mind. This is such a key theme for Peter. Throughout the book, he talks about be alert so that you can be sure of your salvation. He says, be alert so that you can pray. Being alert is like when you're parking. You know what it's like. There you are. You've got your car is that big, and the space that you're trying to park into looks as if it's about that big. You know what I mean. But you think you can just about squeeze it in. So sure enough, you very carefully back your way in. Maybe you touch the bumper of the car behind, and maybe you touch the bumper of, but you just about squeeze in. But you know what I mean. You're very alert. Your control on those pedals is, you are very, very careful. Or, put it another way, you're in the kitchen and you're carrying a pan of boiling water. You know what I mean? You're very, very careful. Every step, every movement that you make, you don't want to spill that water. That's what it's like when Peter is talking about being alert. Or, when you're in an exam, horrendous thought, being in an exam, and for the first time you're able to concentrate for 90 minutes solid. Or when you're in a job interview, you know what I mean? It's those times of focus, alertness. And Peter is saying that to us when the devil's around. He says, wake up, be ready, focus. The lion is out of its cage. There's a lion on the loose. Number one, be alert. Number two, resist. See what he says in verse 9. He says, resist him. Standing firm in the faith. Resist that temptation to sin. Have nothing to do with temptation. Boot it out of the park. Kick the devil, or KOKD. Keep on kicking the devil. Not just once, because he'll come back for more. Resist the arrows of doubt. Resist the attraction of anything that takes us away from Jesus. Don't give it any space. Don't give it any time. Peter's instruction to resist means that defeat against the devilish lion is not inevitable. Now, picture yourself in Chiswick High Road again. The idea of facing a lion is terrifying. How can you win? And yet Peter says, resist. You can resist the devil. It is possible, because he doesn't have ultimate authority. We know who does. He may be a lion, but lions can be tranquilized, shoved into a cage, packed off to the zoo. Can you turn with me for a moment to Ephesians 6? This is the passage that Tim read earlier, and it's on page 1177, Ephesians 6. 1177. And I'm going to read the same section that Tim read earlier. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10, 11, and 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. You see, God has provided us with the weapons we need to fight off the devil. Ultimately, yes, the devil is a prowling, dangerous lion, but Christ has the victory, and he's given us the weapons to fight off these dark forces of evil. The risk is not that we don't have the equipment to resist the devil, but that we're not ready to use it when it's needed. The devil will always ambush us when we're not ready, or he'll attack us at our weakest moment, when we're lonely or worried. What he's saying here is, be ready, always ready to resist. When are you at your weakest moment? Is it when you doubt? Is it when you're afraid or alone? Or when you're with others who don't believe? When is your weakest moment? When are you faced with a particular temptation? Perhaps it's when you're teased or mocked or in a difficult situation. When is your weakest moment? Recognize it and be ready, because that's quite likely when the devil will ambush you. So Ephesians 6 tells us to put on the full armor of God so that you can resist the devil's schemes. Put on the full armor of God. Don't stop praying. When things get tough and doubts swirl around, you know that the devil is prowling. That's the time to double up your prayer, not slacken off. The devil says slacken off, you can resist and double it up. Ephesians 6 tells us to put on the full armor of God. A key part of the armor is the shield, the Bible itself. Don't stop reading the Bible. When things get tough, that's the time to double up your Bible reading, not slacken off. The devil will say, oh, don't worry about reading the Bible. That's the time to double it up. Ephesians 6 tells us to buckle up the belt of truth. That means to be sure of where you stand on the big questions. And where you aren't sure, ask and get sure. Ephesians 6 tells us to strap on the breastplate of righteousness, to be ruthless with sin. Cut it out. Ephesians 6 is telling us to shield up, get your weapons ready, armor on, sword out, be ready to cut the devil down. Think for a moment with me about when Jesus was tempted. How did he resist? Remember the scene. Jesus had gone out to pray. He'd been on his own for a long time. He was hungry and lonely at that point of weakness. And Satan came to him and offered him what? Do you remember? He offered him the world without having to go through the cross. I'll give you all the world, Jesus. You don't have to suffer. Remember him also, he came to tempt him to use his own power to indulge himself. Come on, Jesus, you're hungry. You can turn that rock into bread. He came to him and tempted him to become the world's greatest ever magician. Jump off the highest building. Come on, Jesus, you're fantastic. But Jesus recognized the devil for what he is, and he fought back. He fought back not with some amazing miracle. What did he fight back with? Do you remember? He fought back with Scripture. Hang on a minute. Jesus was using the weapons that I can use. Jesus, the Son of God, who could, let's face it, have wiped the devil off the map, he used what I can use. And he defeated the devil. So in other words, we have the weapons of God in our hand to fight off the dangerous, devilish lion. And of course, Jesus fought back with a ruthless resistance, giving no time for the devil to get into his head. So when the devil tempts us to doubt God, stick a verse at him, like Psalm 14. No, devil. It's a fool who doesn't believe in God. Or when the devil tempts you to think that you're not a Christian, you're not really a believer, stick him with something like Ephesians 2:8. No, devil, God has given me faith. It's God's grace that has saved me. Or how about when the devil tempts you to think God doesn't really love you? Hit him with something like Psalm 23. No, devil, the Lord is my shepherd. Or when the devil tempts you to think that you're not really saved, swipe him with John 3:16. No, devil, whoever believes shall not perish. when you're reading the Bible, use it to stick it to the devil. Write down what's powerful for knocking the devil down so you're ready for the doubts and temptations that will surely come. Be ready with the armor of God. So how do we deal with this lion that's on the loose? We've talked about being alert. We've talked about resisting. And then the last thing is standing firm. See what Peter says. So now we're back in 1 Peter chapter 5. If you can flick back to 1 Peter chapter 5. And in verse 9, he says, resist him, standing firm in the faith. So Peter says, stand firm, hold your position. The only example I could think of, and I'm sorry to those who would rather forget it, but was the World Cup. Some of those matches were very, very boring. And the reason was that one side took a completely defensive position. There was one match, Spain versus Russia. Spain, brilliant footballers, elegant passes of the ball, but they lost against Russia, who apparently were unskilled, a hodgepodge team cobbled together. So what did Russia do to win? They packed the goal mouth with 11 players. Everybody stayed in the goal. There was no way that Spain could win. They stood firm. And when they got the ball, they hoofed it upfield and miraculously got a goal and won the match. It's almost as if Peter is saying, be like that. Hold your ground. Be sure of where you stand. When the doubts come by, turn to Scripture, grab hold of a verse, and be firm, be solid and secure. I remember some years ago when a well-known Christian leader left his wife, and he went off with someone else. He resigned his position, and it was quite a big thing at the time. I don't know if you, many of you will remember Ian Mullard, a good friend who used to be a member here, became a Christian here, was a member here and then married and has moved up to Norfolk. And Ian had been really helped by this man's sermons and he'd read several of his books. And I remember speaking to Ian at the time. And frankly, I think I was a bit worried. I thought Ian's faith might be a bit rocked. You know what I mean? When you hear about a Christian leader who sins and you know, or falls away, or in this case, you know, very publicly resigns and leaves his wife. You know, it's unsettling, isn't it? So I was asking Ian about it, but instead, guess what? Ian was not in the least bit surprised, and he said to me, "This is a bit of a paraphrase, but get this: what he said, don't you realize just how powerful the grip of sin is on someone's life? Don't you realize just how real the devil is? And who do you think the devil is attacking right now more than anyone else? Our leaders. Put a man on a pedestal and he's a target for the devil. So, by the way, don't you think that we should be praying for Tim and Michael and other Christian leaders because they're targets for the devil? And young people shouldn't be surprised when their leaders are going to be under more and more attack of doubt and of sin. Don't be surprised. Pray for our leaders that the Lord would give them strength to resist and stand firm. So, how do we deal with the lion that's on the loose? Be alert, resist, and stand firm. Now let's take a look at verse 10. Where Peter gives us three messages of assurance from the God of all grace. So verse 10, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. So Peter has put the devil in our minds, the prowling lion, and now he says, we have God himself with us. Do you see that Peter doesn't actually tell us to be afraid of the devil? He doesn't say be afraid. He says be alert, be ready, be prepared, be ready for the fight. And then he says we can be totally assured of God's presence. On the one hand, yes, there's the dangerous prowling lion, be alert. But on the other, be assured, because we have the God of all grace. Let's look at the three reasons, these three messages of assurance. The first reason why we can be assured is that we have been called to his eternal glory in Christ. It's as if Peter is saying, look, you have a sure and certain future. This glory that he's talking about is the reality of heaven. He's already talked about it several times in the book. In chapter 1, he calls it an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Heaven never goes beyond its best before date. Heaven never fails. Heaven never spoils. It's always glorious. It's the best ever experience. It's the thrill, the triumph, and the joy. Be assured, because glory is a certainty. Don't let the devil get to you, but hold on in faith and enjoy that sure confidence of the eternity that's yours. He has called us to his eternal glory. This Wednesday evening, we're having our Central Bible study here, and we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15, heaven and resurrection. We're going to remember that because Jesus died, he's secured us eternal life. He's defeated death. We can be confident of heaven to come. We can also be assured because God himself will restore you. He says this in verse 10, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you. So Peter speaks of a glory which is not yet, but he also speaks of a glory that is now. He's saying after suffering, God will restore you. After temptation, God will renew you. After being battered by the devil and fighting him off, God will refresh you. While ultimate restoration won't be until heaven, God is in the business of restoration in this life. And I think, again, we've all experienced it, haven't we? Going through difficult times of doubt and temptation, getting through it, and then experiencing the Lord's restoration and refreshing. He puts things right. He sorts them out. God is working in us to complete what he has started. He leads us beside green pastures. He's molding us, shaping us to be more like him. Now, we have a long way to go, right? But he's started in us, and he's working. He sometimes puts us through difficult times, the dark valleys of suffering, times of doubt, times of temptation. But he's given us the armor to fight the devil off in those difficult times with the Holy Spirit fighting alongside us. And then he will restore us. I think of it like a boxer. Don't you think it's I was going to say it's funny. It's rather painful when you see a boxer after the fight. They put him up in front of the press. But you know what they give him? They give him huge sunglasses. You can't, and then they cover him up. He's normally got a huge cap, and he's covered up with some kind of sports clothes. You can't see his bruises because they're covering him. And a pop from maybe a huge plaster on his nose. But what that boxer needs is a time to recover, right? And God gets us back in shape, brings us back to health. Be assured, because glory is a certainty, and God himself will restore you. And thirdly, be assured, because God will make you strong, firm, and steadfast. See that in verse 10. It says, the God of all grace will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Now, hang on a minute, Peter. Strong, firm, and steadfast. You're kind of saying the same thing three times, right? Strong is kind of firm. Firm is sort of strong. And steadfast is kind of strong and firm. You know what I mean? He's saying the same thing three times to emphasize the point. He's saying God will not just make you a bit strong. He'll make you very strong, not even very strong. He'll make you very, very strong. Yes, you won't be just a little bit fitter. You will go through temptation, fight off the devil, get stronger in your faith, get more secure and solid. Crucially, resist the devil. God will make you stronger than you were before. We are weak, but we have the most powerful Savior from whom nothing can separate us. And he empowers us. We're not left to fend on our own in confusion. He has the victory. And in verse 9, it says, resist him standing firm. So in verse 9, Peter tells us to resist the devil ourselves, to put on the armor. But in verse 10, he says, God will make you strong, firm, and steadfast. So in other words, on the one hand, yes, we are resisting the devil, but on the other hand, we have the Holy Spirit himself making us strong, making us firm, standing us firmly on the solid rock that is Jesus and Scripture. Resist the devil, the Lord will restore you. Stand firm against the devil, and the Lord himself will make you strong and firm. We're not on our own in our struggle with the lion that's on the loose. This week, I don't know if you picked up this on the news, there was a celebration of the 100th year, the anniversary. It's been 100 years since the Battle of Amiens. Did you pick up on this? After years of stalemate in the First World War, here was the one battle in northern France that finally proved that there was actually only one side who could win. The Allies at last got the combination right. Air power, artillery, tanks, and infantry. And you know the story of the First World War. Both sides tried again and again and again to get the right combination. How can we move forward? How can we break across no man's land and push the enemy back? And for the first time at the Battle of Amiens, the planes apparently reconnoitered correctly. They accurately worked out where the crucial enemy lines were. And at last, the artillery hit their targets. Apparently, through the First World War, they kept missing their targets. And apparently, you know better than me, there are still many unexploded bombs in the landscape of northern France that never hit their targets. And at last, the tanks worked and managed to cross the whole of no man's land. And in 1 week, the Allies won more ground than had been won in years. After that, it was only a matter of time after this battle that the war was won. And it was just a few months later, of course, in November, that the armistice was signed. We can be assured that Jesus has won the ultimate victory over the devil through his death on the cross and in the resurrection. So we can fight the devil assured of victory, assured that God will restore us again and again, assured that he's making us strong, firm, and steadfast. And how does Peter finish this little passage? Look at verse 11, 1 Peter 5:11. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. In other words, the devil doesn't have the ultimate power. Yes, he's dangerous. Yes, he's on the loose. But you have the weapons to fight him off, and God ultimately has the power. Give praise to the one who has the power. Trust in him. Focus on him to help you fight off the enemy. And I'll hand it back. Oh, no, I won't hand back. We'll sing, won't we? Let's sing our last song, There Is a Hope That Burns. This is a great song because we've talked about the hope of heaven, the glory that is to come, and this song assures us that this hope is not just a vague, meaningless, I wish. This is a sure certainty. Let's pray to finish. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Lord, we rejoice in this assurance this certain future that we have in Christ. And we thank you so much that you've given us the weapons to fight off the devil. Lord, please help us to take hold of those weapons, fight off sin, fight off temptation, in the sure knowledge of heaven and in the sure knowledge of you alongside us, making us strong, firm, and steadfast. Take us now, we pray, into this week. Help us to serve you with loyalty and faith. In Jesus' name, amen.